Okay, so from today, I'm the new pastor here today, okay? All right, so there's no longer Pastor Joe. It's Pastor Patrick. Amen. Today I've been given the opportunity to share by Pastor Joe, and just want to thank him for the opportunity, Pastor. Thanks for the opportunity. Let's just close our eyes and pray. Father, we just bless your name. We give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you adoration. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, even as we hear your words, oh God, Father, we pray you shall open our eyes, open our hearts to be receptive to your word in the name of Jesus. Let my tongue be like a pen of a ready writer in the name of Jesus. As I speak your word, oh Lord, speak through me in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said earlier on, okay, so pretend as if you don't know me, all right? Pretend as if this is my first time in this church, and I'm sure all will go well. Definitely all will go well. All right. Pastor, like we know, this is a season of fruit bearing, and it's really exciting that, you know, that we know that this season, for me, is going to be a special season. It's going to be a season whereby different things, you know, will happen in every area. And like Bookie said the last time when she was reading, I think the book of Luke, was talking about the fig tree, and where the I think the owner was going and found nothing on the tree and wanted them to chop it off. But the person that was tendering for the fig tree said, you know, let's give it another opportunity. You know, let's give it time, and perhaps, you know, something will grow. The fig tree will produce next year. And the same thing with us today, you know. God is giving everyone another opportunity. God is not looking down on any one of us. He knows and he has the best for every one of us at heart. And Pastor was also sharing last week, I was talking about the leap, you know. And so I was thinking of season fruit bearing, fig tree, the leap, you know, in the year. I was like, wow, you know, anything can happen this year. That's why I'm just looking at myself. I'm just thinking that anything can happen. And when I mean anything can happen, I'm not saying anything can happen by accident. Anything can happen by faith, all right? And once you're ready in your heart that anything can happen by faith, the sky is your limit, you know? If you're ready to jump, like me, I'm just, you know, excited in my heart. And there are so many things, you know, I've been believing God for, and myself and my family, and I'm believing that this year will be the leap in the year. Something different. I'll be sharing today about identity, okay? And it just coincides, it flows along with what Pastor has been sharing. And one thing I know about identity that people have different ideas about identity. And I'm going to just read some things and the definition I wrote about. The first question I asked myself is, what is identity? And I say it means, you know, who or what, characteristics or feelings that distinguishes people from others. That's identity, you know? Who, what, characteristics, or something that differentiates you from other people. And, you know, we've got lots of that, you know, like if you see someone and say, oh, this person is different. I think some people will see my daughter and say, oh, she looks like you. I'm like, oh, everyone is saying she looks like my wife. So just different things, and people just tell you different things. Like at times, I'm a little bit confused. Who does she look like, you know? And the next thing I was asking myself is, what does it mean to have an identity? And I'm sure most of us, we know those are questions, you know, we know we've answered in the past. And I said it simply means, or I got from the dictionary, it simply means that you are able to distinguish who you are, what you are, or where you come from. Am I right? Okay, so that's it. You know, if you're able to distinguish who you are, where you are, you know, where you come from, what you love doing, you know, just everything about you will tell you who, you know, what it means to have an identity. And also went ahead and said, why must you have an identity? Okay, everyone knows that it's essential for you to have an identity. Because if you don't have an identity, there's no way you could identify yourself, okay? You will not be able to identify yourself. Another thing is that it could be a case of mistaking identity. And, you know, one thing I love about this country is, you know, you go to the bank, you want to withdraw money, or you go somewhere and they say, can you bring out your identity? I was like, oh, really? And I brought this out. Okay. Where is it? Don't tell me it's gone. Okay. A way in which you can identify yourself is this. True or false? Okay? And I will not go to, maybe I'm in the immigration or I'm in the bank, and I say, can I have your identity? And I bring out this passport, and I bring out an African passport too. That's like confusion. You know, like, give us one, basically. They are only asking for an identity. What distinguishes you from the next person? Okay? Another thing which most generally we use to identify ourselves is your driver's license. Okay? And those are just the major ways, because my face is on it. My face is here. It's got my name. Okay? I'm different, basically. All right? It's just totally different. And that's way in which, you know, people, we could generally identify ourselves. But the question is, despite this, could there be a case of mistaken identity? Yes. Okay? And we pray we don't get to that situation, whereby somebody else could take your name, okay, your date of birth, your address, with the same license, and will have their face on it. True or false? We've seen it on TV. People using fake identity. And it's something whereby, you know, people are like, oh God, you know, there have been people in trouble, and like, it wasn't me, I wasn't there, you know? And that kind of question is like, it's really, really, really hard, you know, for people. But another question is, how can you get an identity? Okay? I wish we were in like a Bible study class, and I was like, you tell me. But I'm going to answer the question. How do you, you know, get an identity? Number one, by birth, true or false? All right? So once you're born, the way you get an identity is when you were born, and you have a birth certificate, and that identifies who you are, that you were born here, and you're a citizen of Australia, or you're a citizen of wherever you come from. Another way in which people get an identity is through marriage, all right? I'm sure there'll be lots of people here whereby probably I'm from here, and my wife is from somewhere else, and she gets married to me, you know? Definitely, you know, by marriage, people become, you know, citizens. Another way in which people could become citizens is through by adoption, all right? People could get, you know, become citizens by adoption. People go and get kids, you know, like people who want kids go to other countries or adopt kids from other countries, and once they bring them in, they automatically become citizens of Australia. Or if you get married, or you, someone like me, basically, I naturalize, you know, and I'm now a citizen of Australia because I've lived in this country, I've met the requirement, I am now a citizen, okay? So those are different ways in which you become a citizen. But going further, why do we have to become a citizen? Why do you need to identify yourself with an area? Okay, that's one question. And we've talked about all those. But what are the benefits of being a citizen? Okay? And I love this. There are lots of benefits. It depends on where you come from. And I love this country. You know, it's a country whereby it's got lots of benefits, but at the same time, you need to give your own part to it, all right? And that's why most of us are here. We're giving our, contributing our part. We don't just want to, like, you know, kill the system. All right, so what are the benefits? The first thing I wrote here is you can vote, right? I remember the first time I came into this country, and I was at work, and someone was asking me, oh, who are you going to vote for? I was like, in my mind, should I tell them I'm not going to vote? Or should I tell them, should I pretend, you know, to say, well, I hate voting, you know, Liberal. Or should I just say, I'm not qualified to vote, all right? So it just depends, you know, the answer you want to give. But the good thing about it is that you can vote. And when, after I got my citizenship and I was time to vote, I was so excited, you know, because I feel like I'm part of, you know, I want to choose somebody who could lead us, all right? There are some countries you could come from, all right? I'm sure I know some people will know what I'm about to say, whereby you voting doesn't make any difference. I know. See, some people get what I say. You voting doesn't make any difference. Whoever is going to win is going to win, you know? And that's where corruption is. But it's not like that here, because you know you're going to contribute, and, you know, the right person is going to be chosen. So you can vote. That's one of the benefits. What else can you get? You can access basic amenities, which is so good about this country. Education, okay? You know, there are some benefits, not like everyone, but that you can access good education. And I remember when I wanted to do my master's then, you know, I was like a permanent resident, and I had friends around me and said, oh, I'm not going to do any study until I become a citizen so that, you know, they can get these hex and everything. And I told myself, well, that's true, but if I wait till then, now I'm passionate about it, I think I better get it done. But at the same time, I was looking at the amount. You know, imagine paying $3,000 for a subject, you know? And it's quite a lot, you know, a young man trying to study and everything. I told myself, I'm just going to get in. And I love my sister. And she told me, just get in and forget about it. Was it easy? No. But I didn't wait for that, and I just, you know, did it. But now I've got friends who, you know, who are citizens, and now they've done their masters and everything, and of course, but I'm ahead of them because I've done mine a few years ago. But the good thing is that they got HEX, which was good. So that's what I mean, free education, you know. Not free, you pay it back, but it makes life easy for you that you're able to go, you know, and you get what you want to get. So no one has an excuse, basically, because the government is here to help, unlike some other places whereby you have to struggle to be able to get what you want. Other thing is good healthcare. Yeah? Medicare. We pray it still remains, you know? And, you know, you find people, and I've got a brother who is not, and you even when he's sick, you know, you're like, oh, God, people like Dr. Joe say, oh, we have to go and pay $70 to this doctor or pay $100 to just see the doctor because they are not citizens, you know? So for some people, you know, they are not enjoying that bit of, you know, of what it means to become a citizen. So that's free healthcare. Also, protection. What do I mean by protection? If you're in another foreign country and you're a citizen of Australia and something happens, the government will send people and come and pick you out, you know? If there is flood or whatever, they take care of their people, all right? And they'll come over and pick you up and take you out to the right place, you know, and take you. While some other countries, they don't care, you know? Not that they really don't care, they can't afford it, you know? So it's really hard, you know? And I'm driving to a point which I'll get to soon, you know. So those are benefits, you know, of enjoying that. Another benefit is you can work for the federal government if you're a citizen. Okay, if you're not a citizen, you can't work for the federal government. You know, some people say, oh, I would like to work for Department of Immigration, I would like to work for Foreign Affairs. If you're not a citizen, you can't do that. Okay? Another good thing is that you can work as an ambassador of Australia somewhere else in the country. You can't say, oh, I've got all the qualifications, I've got PhD, I've got all the masters. Our prime minister will have to make me one, whether he likes it or not. I'm like, just, you know, just push you out, you know. So those are some of the things, those are the benefits of being a citizen. And I'm excited I am one in this country, okay. I'm excited I am one from where I came from, you know. You can't let go of where you come from, whichever way. But I'm happy I live here, I love this place. And I'm enjoying it. I'm happy I'm a citizen. See, people ask me, where are you from? I say, I'm an Australian. Okay? I say, but you've got an accent. I say, yes, I do, but I'm an Australian. You know? So that's the way it is, and we enjoy it. But going further now, what does it mean to have an identity in Christ? Okay? So we've talked about, you know, having an identity as human, but what does it mean to have an identity in Christ? Okay? And that's a lot of questions that most people really don't even know. Okay, most people are confused. Okay, even if they've been Christians for so long, but they can't really identify themselves, you know, in Christ. The first scripture we're going to open is, let's open our Bible to the book of Ephesians 2:19. Then we'll Ephesians 2:19. I'm going to open two scriptures quickly. Okay. I think I'm going to read it from the Amplified. So pardon me, let me use my phone. I love the Amplified. It actually amplifies things. So Ephesians 2:19. So if you have your Bible, I'm going to read it quickly. So it says, therefore, you are no longer outsiders. Okay? And in brackets, say exiles, migrants, and aliens, excluded from the right of citizens. You remember we talked about so many things we were excluded from, or I was excluded from when I came in, okay? But you now share citizenship, okay, with saints. And what I say, God's own people, consecrated and set apart for himself, and you belong to God and God's own household. Okay, you can hear? He say you are now citizens, okay? But you now share citizenship with saints. So all of us, for those of us who know their rights, who can identify with Christ. So we are all citizens, okay? For those, but I'll explain further. If you open also to the book of Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, but we are citizens of the state, commonwealth, homeland, which is in heaven. I love this. Okay? He said, we are citizens of the state, commonwealth, homeland, not commonwealth of Australia. Okay? All right, so don't think that's what we're talking about. Which is in heaven. And from it also we earnestly and patiently await the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah and Savior. Okay? So the only people who will be patiently waiting for this are those who are citizens. Remember the example I gave that, you know, when you've got floods in the Philippines or wherever, Australia will send in the military, you know, to come and get everyone, okay, and bring you back to your base. Okay? If you are from Nigeria, you are from Kenya, you are from India, you're from the Philippines, you know, or wherever, they will walk past your house and go to the next house of the next person. They only pick citizens of Australia, all right? And it's the same thing for us who are citizens in Christ, okay? We know that if the end comes today, I will make it. I know Jesus will come in specifically and pick me up, pick my kids, and pick those around me who identify themselves as citizens, and we will make heaven. Okay? So I don't know, that's a good place for you to clap, you know? If you're a citizen of Christ, you know, you get excited that, yes, I'm going to make it. And that's one thing. But let's forget about us talking about, you know, we are citizens and everything. You know, I'm sure everyone can say, yes, I'm a citizen. It's not about saying I'm a citizen. It's about, do you meet the requirement of being a citizen? You know, do you meet the requirement of identifying yourself, you know, in Christ? Okay. So the next question I've written is, how do you get an identity in Christ? I know it's a simple question. We talk about it and, you know, everyone can answer the question. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Yes, that's the first key. But most of us have just, we've quoted that scripture so many times that we just forget about it that, you know, and we really don't even know who we are. But that's the first scripture, like I said. For God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son. He didn't give every one of us. He gave one person for all of us, which we know, okay? So that we might have what? Everlasting life. And everlasting life, is it's a life of God, a continuous life. You know what I mean? It's not mean. It doesn't mean that you're not going to die, but it's like a life of Christ that, you know, is going to continue and flow through when we get to heaven, okay? It's the life of Christ in you, basically. And that's, you know, you have the everlasting life. So that's the first key. You need to be born again, okay? And most of us claim we are born again. You know, yes, you know, we do. No one knows who is born again. It's you and, you know, and your God, basically, all right? But there are some keys, like I said. So that's the first thing. The next scripture I've written here is Romans 10:19. You can open our book to the book of Romans 10:19. I'm sure most of us know all the scriptures. Romans 10, chapter 19. It says, are we there? Do you have your Bible? It's always good to look into the Bible. Oh, we've got it on the screen. Oh, that's good. But I say, did Israel not know? Sorry, 10:9. Sorry, first 10:9. I was like, reading it. That's different. Okay? It says, because, let's read this, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So many people tell you I was baptized and I was confirmed. Because I was born into a Catholic home, you know? I've got nothing wrong. You know, I was baptized, I was confirmed. And I remember when I was young then, I think I was about 15, or I think about 13 then, I was sharing with a friend of mine, you know, who was staying in my neighborhood, and I was trying to talk about share Christ with him. And he said, yeah, he's born again. I said, how? He said, he was, because he was confirmed, you know, and he was baptized, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I tried to explain and explain, you know, but one thing I've noticed now as a Christian is that don't just try and explain only. You try and explain, but let God guide you, you know, because there are times it will just end up in argument. And it ended up in argument, seriously. Was I able to convince the guy? No. Because I was trying to, you know, argue that, no, no, no. When somebody has a belief, it's very hard for you to argue with that belief. Except you've got the Holy Ghost, you know, and you're pushing you. And, you know, and if the Holy Ghost has convinced that person, then the word will, you know, reach the person's heart, you know. But it says, like it says, it's not about you being confirmed. It's not about your dad and mom being born again. It's not about you being born into church. It's not about you doing the right thing, okay? I've got a cousin whereby everything he does, I've never seen him smoke. He doesn't womanize. He doesn't even do anything wrong, you know. He's just a saint. And the first thing you see, like, this guy is born again. Everyone says, I want to be like you. But now I look, I don't want to be like him, okay? Because he does everything. He has the attributes of what was called, so-called Christianity. But is he one? No, he's not. Because if Christ comes in today, he's going nowhere, okay? Because he hasn't done that, okay? He has not confessed with his mouth, okay? He has not acknowledged with his lips. Because there's something we call the power of the tongue. And there's something we call the power of confession. Okay, and my wife corrects me at times, says, don't say this, because it's very, very powerful what you say. And that's why Christ didn't just say, okay, every one of you, I want to do that, you know, that kind of stuff. You're all born again. No. He wants you to do it from your heart. He wants you to believe, okay? He wants you to confess it, okay? And once you do that, then you are connected and you can now call yourself, say, yes, I'm a citizen. I'm a part of Christ. And you can identify yourself with Christ, okay? So if you're here today, all right, you've been coming to church for so long. Yes, you know, you've said this word before, but you've backslided. And you feel that something, not working. Pastor said something last time. I put a note last week. He said something like, if you know you're not happy with where you are, okay? Or you know that where you are, something is not working right. These are the kind of thoughts that need to start coming to your mind. Am I still working in the right place? Am I doing what I'm meant to do? Am I still connecting with Christ? Once you start thinking that way, you know that there's something wrong, okay? You know there's something wrong. It's time for you to come back to Christ, all right? It's never too late. No one looks at you. You know, those days, you'll be thinking, oh, God, if I raise my hand up, if I say this, everyone think I'm backslided. I'm coming. It doesn't matter, you know? If Christ comes in today, the people you think they are looking at you will go and you'll remain here. And I pray no one of us will remain here when the rapture comes, okay? I pray none of us will remain. I pray we'll all make it in Christ. But, you know, just like I'm saying, if you know and you know there are things not right with you today, God is a merciful God. He's a gracious God. It's not like when my daughter Isabella does something, I'm like, better stop the ice cream, and I shout. My wife told me, stop, you know. It's not about that, okay? It's about, you know, you coming and knowing what is right. Say, I need to let her know this is wrong. This is the right thing. And the same thing, if you know what is wrong, and if you know that things are not coming right, please come back to Christ. All right? Come back to Christ. It's a joyous thing. I remember then in my uni, I used to say, God, I'm so excited. You know, when we're in fellowship, we'll come back and say, I'm so pregnant. You know, after praying in the morning, we'll come back and say, so what's wrong with you? You know, I don't know. You know, we do this holy thing then, those days. Said, how are you doing? He said, I'm pregnant with the Holy Ghost today, brother. You know, we're so excited. And he said, I'm so pregnant. But the truth is, there are times whereby you feel that way every day if you're connected. Because after coming from a place of prayer at times, you feel that, you know, you feel that that you're so happy, you're full of Christ. There are times whereby you are dry too. And I won't lie to you, I'm there at times, okay? Whereby I know I'm supposed to pray and I'm not praying. Okay? And I look at myself and I know deep down. And that's why, because you know you're crying, you've got that, you're identifying yourself with Christ. And there's something pushing you, say, man, come on, Patrick, stand up and pray. And at times I wake up in the night, I'll go to the sitting room and I'll start praying, you know. And before you know, I fall asleep again, you know. But I'm not saying I'm doing the right thing, but I heed to the voice and I go and I start the prayer because I'm still hearing. You know, when Pastor was talking about hearing the voice of the Holy Ghost, okay? You know, hearing the voice of the Holy Ghost is not about my son, you know. It's about, you being convinced in your heart. It could be two dreams, it could be two different ways, you know. But that's just it. But be connected to Christ and, and you'll be able to identify yourself with Christ. Better go on quickly. And like I said, so many people have this mistaken identity and they have this identity crisis, right? You find so many Christians, they can't tell you that I'm a Christian because they are not sure, basically. They feel, okay, if I tell this person I'm a Christian, what would they say? At work, at times, I feel that way too because at times I'm very strict with my workers. I tell them, you need to do this, you need to do this. Or I don't even smile with them at times because I work in the finance section. I tell you, you need to do this. You know, if you work for the government, these are breaches. And people don't listen at times, so I tend not to smile with them. So I tell them, I'll be wondering, would these people say I'm still a Christian? But I really don't care, you know? Because people look for a way to judge you. To say, okay, you said you're a Christian, you're doing this, all right? Of course, the fruit should show, but you need to be able to stand your ground in certain things. By the way, side of the way. But like I said, people have this identity crisis. How many of you know Beyoncé? You know? This. She says something like, she said, if when I come out and I want to perform very well, I forget Beyonce and I bring in Sasha. You know, her what do they call that word? Alter ego, thank you very much. Her alter ego is Sasha. So when you see Beyonce doing all those stuff, that's not Beyonce, that's Sasha. That's just an identity crisis. You know, that's just a good example of identity crisis. Because if you're in Christ, okay, you identify yourself as Patrick, okay? Patrick, the son of God, you know? Patrick, the Christ son, you know, that kind of stuff. You don't have this identity crisis. The same thing whereby you hear people say, when I was born, you know, I was growing up, but like, I knew that the part of me inside is feminine. I know, like, I'm meant to be a woman. This is just an outside of me, you know? I'm meant to be a woman. Excuse me, identity crisis. Okay? It's the same thing with us as Christians, you know? We are just so confused about who we are in Christ. We can't come out and say, I am a Christian. Or you don't even know what it means to be a Christian, you know? We're just so confused. And I feel for so many people when it comes to that area. Let me read this verse quickly because I've got about 15 minutes. If we open our Bible to the book of Luke 15, 11 to 24. We'll read that quickly. We all know that, so I'm going to read through it quickly. Luke 11, 15 to 24. So if you got it, you can open, or you can look at it at the screen. So I'll read it quickly. It says, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them, reading it quickly, so you can look at the screen. He divided to them his livelihood, and not many days after, the youngest son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted all his possessions, okay, with prodigal living. But when he said he had spent all there arose a severe famine and in that land, and he began to be in want, okay? Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Did he say? Citizen of another country. So this is somebody that came from somewhere else as a citizen. He had all. But you know, at time being prodigal, he went and everything went. And now he went to join himself with a citizen of another country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his swine's stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. Okay, this you can imagine what happened. But when he came to himself, I love this, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to eat, okay, and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his son, blah, 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 blah. And the father said to him, bring out the best robe, put on him and put the ring on him, and bring the fatted calf, you know? So the bit I'm trying to point out is that he had all, everything. This is sitting of a country, was enjoying everything that belonged to him, but he went somewhere else. He had what you call an identity crisis. He's finished spending everything and he was now serving somebody else. But he said he came to his senses. I pray we all come to our senses today, you know. He came to his senses and said, how many, you know, of my father's servants have enough to eat? And what he did, he went back, okay? And that's what we talk about. We can reconcile ourselves back to Christ. When you feel you're in a situation where you're unsure what's happening, think back of what God has done for you in the past. Don't think about what you're going through now. Don't think about what you're facing. Think about what he has done. God is able to do exceedingly above that which we could ever think or imagine, okay? So God will always do bigger things. Don't bring yourself down on the past. Remember that God is always there with open arms any day. Bible says his grace is made sufficient for us every time. So when you feel you're down and you think, God, am I really a Christian? Am I doing the right thing? Or people are telling you you're not a Christian. Forget those. Go back to the main source. Go back to the Holy Ghost and say, Holy Ghost, help me, you know. I know you are in me, and I know you can help me. You can revive me. And that's the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, I love the Holy Ghost so much, you know. And I don't know, I'm getting excited, so let me forget that. But, you know, the Holy Ghost is there for you any day. He's there. He can do everything for you. You remember when Jesus was going and when the disciples were saying, oh, do not go, do not leave. Or he said, it's the expedient I go. He said, if I do not go, you know, that the Holy Ghost will not be able to come. He said he will send you another comforter, which will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Are we not so blessed that we've got the Holy Ghost who could do all this? One person can do all this for us. We shouldn't be in that situation whereby we'll have an identity crisis. We should not. I remember one time when I gave my life to Christ and I started speaking in tongues. I doubted myself for so long. I'm telling you, it was something the enemy used to use against me to say, are you really speaking in tongues? You know, is it true? I'm telling you, it was like, you know the enemy. I don't know where the enemy uses things against us as Christians. He's there. I doubted myself. And at times when I get there, I'll be speaking in tongues in my heart. I wouldn't come out to speak. But once I listened to a message, you know, in church one day, and they explained the power of the Holy Ghost. They explained the fruit. They explained how the Holy Ghost will come upon you. And I told myself, and I told the devil, no, you can't stop me. Wherever I am, I can speak in tongues boldly because I know it's not the enemy. I'm not faking it, you know? I can speak to you. And you know why? I've also seen the power of the Holy Ghost when I'm speaking in tongues without even praying. There's power, okay, in speaking in tongues. So let's know that I saw that, you know, mistaken identity. And I wrote it, most Christians, like I said, have an identity crisis. And let's open our book quickly to 1 Peter 2:9. I'll just open that quickly. 1 Peter 2, chapter 9. Are we getting something? Are we getting blessed? And I'm not pastor. 1 Peter 2:9. Okay, it says, who himself bore our sins. 1 Peter 2:9. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may be called, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Can you imagine how he's described? I know you've read this scripture, but let's come back. Imagine how he's described you. He didn't just describe you as any other person. He said, you, a chosen generation. Not everyone. You, a chosen generation. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, you know, to proclaim his praises. I'm telling you, if you're able to identify yourself in Christ, you're not scared of anything, basically. You're not just scared. You're not even bothered. Because you know the Christ in you, the hope of glory, okay? You know he's there. And he's saying you. He's saying Fiona, you. He's saying Kate, you. You know, chosen generation, not just anyone. Out of darkness into his marvelous light. When you start getting your head into that area, you know the man, you're in the right place, okay? You know that no one can push you, okay? But let's go further, because what are the benefits of having an identity in Christ? You know, we've talked about benefits of having identity as an Australian citizen. What are the benefits? There are heaps of benefits, lots of benefits. And if most of us can come to that, you know, understanding that I'm not just a Christian, okay? My Father, Bible says, Jesus was saying, my Father's house, there are many mansions there. You know, when you start understanding different things about who you are in Christ, your mindset will change. The way you talk to people will change. The way you look at yourself will change. I was talking to someone. I would say, God, this year I'm going to I'm believing God I'm going to start walking in my millions. You know what he told me? He said, Patrick, you're too greedy. He said, you're too greedy. Pray to get, you know, hundreds of thousands first. I said, oh, this guy is talking down on himself. He doesn't know who his Father is. Because if you know who your Father is, he's got a lot for you in stock. Okay, whether you say, if it doesn't come today, it doesn't mean it's not going to come tomorrow. But I know where my faith is standing, and I'm saying, yes, this year is going to be a different year. I'm working in my millions, you know. You know, I'm owning my houses. You know, you're confessing things that, you know, that the people are looking at you say, this guy is too proud. No, I'm not proud, man. I'm looking at what the world says. I identify myself in Christ. I'm a citizen of heaven, okay? In my father's house, there are many mansions. There are gold-plated areas, you know? Imagine that, you know? Well, you guys, you're not in my heart, so you don't know what I'm talking about, okay? One of the benefits of having an identity in Christ, quickly, is favor. Okay? Favor. Bible says he encompasses himself. It was talking about favor. If you look in the book of Daniel, okay? Daniel 1:9. I'm not going to go through the scripture because of time. There was favor, you know? Daniel and his team were favored, you know? There is favor once you're in Christ. People see, say, how come it's only you enjoying this? So I'm not just, it's not me, you can be part of it. Favor is not for one Pastor Joe only. Favor is not for Patrick only. Favor is for every one of us, okay? You can enjoy favor. Things can happen. You can be there in the midst of everyone and God will choose you. It's not partiality, okay? It's not that God is cheating other people. You're a son of God, you're a daughter of God, and God can favor you in the midst of everyone. Let's have that in mind, that God can favor you. Luke 2:52 talks about favor too. So know that one of the benefits is favor, okay? Another benefit of identifying yourself, having identity in Christ, is financial increase, okay? I'm going to open that. If you open that Bible to Ephesians 4:19, quickly. Ephesians 4:19. Where's Ephesians? It says, where are you? Someone help me there. Ephesians 4. Okay. I'll correct myself later on. Okay? Philippians 4:19. Thank you, Pastor. Philippians 4:19. Quickly. It says, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Okay? It's a scripture we all say, we all know. But we need to understand that scripture very well. Say, he will supply my needs according to his riches in glory. So when you feel you're in that situation whereby you feel money is an issue, I've been in that place whereby at times I wonder, God, can you bless me further than this? I know he can do that. He's done it and it's something he's going to continually do. Okay? Financial increase. Financial independence is one of the benefits of having, you know, of identifying yourself in Christ. Another one is protection, okay? If you open the book to if you can read it on your own, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 4 to 17, Psalm 91, okay? Psalm 91 is a very, very important one. For those of you who've read that, you know that it's a very, very powerful scripture. Psalm 91 talks about, okay, he said, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Okay, and I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Imagine you that. Okay, he's covering you. But he says, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of fowler. He shall cover you with his feathers. Imagine you being under God's feathers. Who can come near you? Somebody. No one can come near you. So they have to go through God's feathers before they reach you. Okay, protection is in there. Power and authority. Okay, power and authority. Matthew 16:19, Luke 10:19. Bible says he has given you power, to tread upon serpent and scorpions, and by say nothing shall by any means hurt you. Okay, he's given us power in different areas. He said you shall decree a thing and it shall come to pass. Power and authority. Okay. Don't say, oh, the devil is pushing me here and there. No, he cannot. He's there, all right? We're not doubting that, okay? But if you know your power and you know your authority in Christ, there's no way for us to be scared, really. All you just need is just to go in the place of prayer. And the Lord, you can, exact your power, exact your authority. They say, devil, you cannot. I'm tired of you pushing me around. I'm tired of being looking for finances. I'm tired of being sick, you know? Just get out of your mind. Another benefit is good health, okay? 3 John 2, You can also find Isaiah 53, 4 to 5. He said that none of the sickness of the Egyptians will come upon you. Okay? And you imagine what other war sickness will come over people. After the Egyptians have gone through all different kinds of sickness, he said none of them will come upon you. Good health is your portion. So when you feel you're getting sick, just confess it. You said, I am healed. You know, the Lord, by his stripes, I'm healed. You know, just make those confessions and see that God will meet himself at your point of need. Another one is you can be an ambassador of Christ. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 20. You know, we talked about earlier on that one of those things you can be is to be an ambassador. I lost all jobs. I hope one day I'll become more an ambassador. But the same thing for you as a child of God. You can be an ambassador. We are ambassadors of Christ. Okay? And you know what an ambassador does? Ambassadors, they've got their own special house. You know, they've got their own special cars. You know, they've got everything special to them. And it's the same thing for us as Christ, children of God. We're ambassador of Christ. Imagine yourself when you're introducing yourself to people. Say, who are you? Say, I'm ambassador of Christ. You don't even, maybe pretend not to say Christ. Say, who are you? What do you do? It's an ambassador. Watch, everyone will come around you. You know, just pretend. You know, especially when you fly. You're like, oh, really? So what, where do you want, which to which country? So say, in heaven. You know? You've got people around you, you know? You're an ambassador of Christ, okay? We need to enjoy, you know, get to that mentality and know that we can do more for Christ. We can share God's word. This is a season of fruit bearing, okay? Let's know that we can do much more, okay? Don't limit yourself this year. Please do not limit yourself this year. The Lord is for us, and this year will be a good year for every one of us. There will be testimonies, there will be miracles. For those of you believing God for different things, forget about the past, forget about last year. Forget that this year is my year. For kids, for students, whoever is here, know that, you know, you can do better. All right, you can do better in your academics. For those of you believing God for jobs, for finances, it's not impossible. You've waited for so long, doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It will happen. My example in closing is, I believe God, I've shared this before, I was looking for a job for a while. But thank God for family, thank God for a good wife, you know. But, you know, waiting for us. But no one knew I was looking for work. No one knew. People come to my house, they eat. No one knew. Everything was normal. Until I told people, like, do you know I was looking for work for, I'm not going to say number of months. And like, really? So I never knew. I said, well, God has covered my shame. God will cover our shame, you know. He doesn't want to put us in shame anymore. And guess what? When I got my job, guess what? Double. Okay? It wasn't the same level. I jumped. I remember people who were my bosses in 2007. I'm higher than them now. So what I'm trying to tell you that there is room for God can do exceedingly. Just to end there. Pastor.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I think that was an awesome word from the Lord to us. And I think it's a word that we need to run with, especially at this season. I believe that word is meant to connect us, you know, with what the Lord has in mind for us at this age and hour. Thank you for sharing that word. That was great and awesome, brother. God bless you. There were two things that was mentioned in the course of the preaching. Well, there were many things that were mentioned, actually, but let me just summarize it in two. Who do I belong to? What belongs to me? Now, it's unfortunate that many people just pursue and look for what belongs to them in Christ, but they don't see themselves in Christ. To whom do I belong is the starting point of what belongs to me. Because if you don't understand to whom you belong, then you can access what belongs to you. So today, I just want you to go home with this simple statement. I belong to God. I belong to God. It's such a profound statement that if you allow the Holy Spirit to just expand it in your heart, some of the things that we are panicking about, you just go to rest. you know, you just go to sleep. I belong to God. I know there have been a few moments in our lives and in our homes that we've had challenges. And one of the things that I do remind my family of is that we belong to God. We belong to God. And that settles the fear, that settles the anxiety, that settles the troubles. Because one thing that you know is that, I mean, I belong to Him, so He will do something about it. I belong to Him. He cited the example of the people who are in foreign countries, and if you are an Australian, if you are overseas, you just know that you belong to Australia, and Australia will have heard about the news, and they will do something about it. Yeah, if you belong to another country, you know that you are on your own, you know. You know. I'm always amazed about the way the Americans handle their citizens. They deal with their citizens, you know, in a country as if they are the only people living in that country. Say there are three Americans in the country. I say, oh, there are millions there as well. You know, but I belong to that country. The same way, I belong to God. I'm a citizen of heaven. That means heaven will have to do something about your case, you know. I just want us to take that word and run with it. As we seek the benefits, let's remind ourselves of the fact that we belong to God. We belong to God. We belong to God. We belong to God. You know, there are some of those things that you need to say again. I belong to God. I belong to God. I belong to God. And the Lord will expand it in your heart and give you understanding. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for speaking to us clearly and expressly. Thank you for what you have prepared for us in a year like this. Lord, thank you for what you have prepared for us in the months and in the weeks ahead. Thank you for what you have prepared for us tomorrow. Lord, I pray, oh Lord, for my brethren as we leave and depart the service this morning, that the Lord will bless you, the Lord will keep you. The Lord will cause His face to shine upon you and give you peace on every side. The Lord will uphold you. He will surround you with favor. He will strengthen you. He will guide you. In your areas and in your moments of weakness, the heavens will open up and they will send help to you. The hand of the Lord will be upon you for good. It shall be by extension unto your family and to your household. As you go into this week, you will prosper. The things around you will work. Nothing will fail. You will have good testimony of God's goodness. You will start this year on a great note, and you will end the year on a strong note. It is what we use, spirit, soul, and body. I speak peace onto your path this week. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.